Good morning again. This is one of those funny mornings for the Everett home. Like, my boys are not in the room because I brought Liz's car keys to church with me early this morning, which means that she couldn't drive her car with the boys. The only car that was left at home was the Miata. Like, my son has a Miata which seats two people, and there are three of them. And rather, you know, some of you said one of them could just sit in another person's lap and come to church, you know. Sorry, officer, we're just on our way to church this morning. But you know, sometimes our mornings just are weird, right? You know, they're just things don't go the way that we want them to go. But isn't it great that even when things don't go the way that we want them to go, that God's not surprised by that? Right? You know, God is like totally in control, and we can trust him no matter what, right? We can trust him even when Carolina wins. I said that one for Matt since he's here today. But I'm really glad you guys are here. I'm pumped about what we're going to talk about today, because I think one of the gifts we're going to talk about today, some of you are going to be like, that's me. But before we get there, I want to tell you something that I know about you. And you're like, you know something about me? Yes, I know something about you. What I know about you is that I know that you want to know that you matter. I know that you want to know that you're loved and that you're cared for and that you're valued. And the reason I know that about you is because God has put that in you. You realize that? God has put in each and every person this desire, this need really, to know that we matter and that we're loved and that we're cared for and that we're valued. And all of us have that need inside of us. But something has happened in the church world somewhere, especially in the Western church world, where we have bought into this lie that the one who is ultimately responsible for letting you know that you matter and that you value and that you're loved and that you're cared for, the one who's ultimately responsible for that is me. Like the one who's like the pastor. Like the church leaders are the ones who are responsible for making sure that you know that you're cared for making sure that you know that you matter, for making sure that you know that you are loved. But what if that's not my job at all? And what if, not only is that not my job, what if it's, well, let me just say this. It's not that I don't care for you, or like I don't love you, or I don't want to, you know, show you that you value or that you matter. But what if God has called some of you and gifted some of you to be his instruments to communicate that love and that value and that that care? And what if, because you're gifted to do that, you can do that way better than me? See, I think some of you are going to realize today that God has called and gifted you to love and care for and communicate to your church family how much they matter. He has called you to do that. And you know what Paul calls you guys? He calls you shepherds. He calls you shepherds. And that's what we're going to talk about today, this gift of a shepherd. Let's kind of review real fast what we've been talking about. If you've missed a couple weeks, you hadn't been here, we've kind of camped out on really five words in the book of Ephesians, or Paul's letter to the Ephesians, where, I'll just read it to you. Paul says this, he says, "But grace was given to each one of us according to measure of Christ's gifts." In other words, God has given each one of us who are a part of the church a gift. It's not something we've earned. It's not something that we deserve. It's not something that we have because we're better than others. It's a grace gift. And each and every one of us who are a part of God's family, the church, has one of these gifts. And here are the gifts. He says this, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the works of ministry, for building up the body of Christ." We've been talking about these five gifts: apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. And what we've said is that all of us in this room can find ourselves in one of those five categories. We're either apostles or prophets or evangelists or shepherds or teachers. These five gifts aren't just those who are professional Christians who do what I do. No, these five gifts are for all of us, for each and every one of us. And we've said that some of you in this room and online, you're apostles. That is, your job, your role, your responsibility is to make sure that we as a church stay sent, to make sure that we stay on mission with God, that God has called us to reach and to make disciples of the entire world, because Jesus didn't just come for a select few, he came for the whole world, and your job is to keep us focused on that mission. Others of you are called and gifted and to the responsibility of being a prophet, and a prophet's not somebody who predicts the future. A prophet is somebody who calls the church towards faithfulness and obedience, who sees the gap between where we are and where God wants us to be and speaks into that gap and calls the church towards obedience. Last week, we talked about the evangelist and how many of you, I actually believe, many of you in this church are evangelists and you didn't even realize it, that God has called you to be a recruiter for the kingdom. And some of you are great inviters. Some of you are great investors. Some of you are great connectors or conversers. And some of you are great convincers. You have this gift, something about you, where you didn't even realize it or not, but you are an evangelist. You are someone that God wants to use. He's called, he's gifted you to recruit people to his kingdom, to recruit people to his mission. Well, today, we're going to look at this fourth gift, the gift of a shepherd. Now, some of your translations, I realize, have a different word in this verse here for shepherd. What is your somebody, what's the different word in there? Somebody know what it is? Pastor. Some of you say pastor. Now, you could use pastor or shepherd here, but let me tell you why I like, this comes from the, you can put that deck up there just for a minute, Trey. This comes from the English Standard Version, and I really like the word shepherd, because when we think of the word pastor a lot of times, a lot of us approach that term with a lot of baggage. Like, we have these preconceived ideas of what a pastor is. So when we read pastor instead of shepherd, we automatically think something that's not necessarily true or not necessarily what this role is all about. So I'm using this word or this translation intentionally because I think the word shepherd really points out some of the uniqueness and the importance of this role. And I don't want you to end up being confused that this role is for somebody just like me, but I think as we're gonna see, many of you have this gift or this responsibility. But before I tell you what a shepherd is, I wanna kind of clear up some misperceptions about what a shepherd is not. I think a lot of times we have this idea that a shepherd is someone whose responsibility is to make sure that I'm happy. That's their goal. Their job, since they're caring for me, since they're loving for me, they need to make sure that I'm happy. That's not a shepherd's job. A shepherd's job is not to make sure the sheep are happy. We're going to see that in a minute. Also, a shepherd isn't just a chaplain. You know, a chaplain, you know, they talk to you, they make sure you're comfortable or whatever like that. Now, chaplains can be shepherds, and sometimes, you know, shepherds make great chaplains, but a shepherd's not necessarily just a chaplain. Also, a lot of times, we have this idea that because we're selfish, I think all of us would confess that we're selfish to one degree or another, at least secretly, if we're not going to confess that out loud. We just want to be cared for and loved and valued so much that we have a tendency to think that this role is the most important. This is the most important gift. Why? Because you're focusing on me and you're making sure I'm cared for and you're making sure I'm loved. But I just want to let you know, the shepherd gift is not the most important gift. It is just one of the five gifts. Each gift is important. Each gift is very, very necessary. And if you emphasize one gift over and above the others, things get skewed, things get messed up, as we're going to talk about on the last week of this series. So the question is, what is a shepherd? If a shepherd's not that, what is a shepherd? And might you be one? Here's what I want to kind of make all of you feel a little bit uncomfortable for just a minute. I really believe that in our church, I was talking with Jamie about this week, we have a lot of dormant evangelists. Like you're an evangelist and you don't even realize that you're a dormant evangelist. But I also feel like we have a ton of dormant shepherds. And I think that as we talk about this, the Holy Spirit is gonna do a little nudging on your heart and on your mind. And he's gonna say, this is you. This is you. So what is a shepherd? And as we go through these things, I want you to ask yourself, does this describe me? Is this talking about me? Well, from a secular perspective, Shepherds are really just people who have a special concern for others and who have a special desire to care for other people. That's just what a shepherd is. They're someone who has this unique desire to care for other people. I love this quote from Helen Hirsch. She says, "They may not be the most appropriate people to put together a policy on addressing drug abuse, but if they're not part of delivering the policy, the addicts are in trouble." Because shepherds care for people. They have something in them that wants to create community. They have something about them that wants to bring healing to the people that they're around. They want to communicate love and value and respect. And I'm pretty sure that you realize that the word shepherd did not originalize with people, right? It was used for caring for sheep. That's, you know, I hope you know that, by the way. A shepherd was someone who originally cared for sheep. And I think that that image or that picture is a perfect picture to help us understand this role. Look at this list right here that we have here. These are some things that shepherds do for the sheep that they are under their care. They care for the sheep. They feed the sheep. They protect the sheep. They know the sheep. They discipline the sheep. That's a little iffy, right? They spend time with the sheep. They lead the sheep. They guide the sheep. That's what a shepherd does. That's what their responsibility is when it comes to taking care of their sheep. And the same can be true for those of us who are called to this role, who have this gifting. We're supposed to care and feed and protect and know and discipline and spend time with and lead and guide other people in the church. But in light of that, I want to give you kind of a one sentence kind of description of a shepherd. This comes from Alan Hirsch. I love it. He says, the shepherd is called to do three things: nurture spiritual development, maintain communal health, and engender loving community among the people of God. The shepherd is called to nurture spiritual development, maintain communal health, and engender loving community among the people of God. I want to take these three things that he talks about here and talk about each one of those because they give us a great three-part picture of the role and responsibility of a shepherd. First and foremost, a shepherd's primary responsibility is to nurture the spiritual development of individuals in the church. That is, they work to help people grow spiritually by encouraging things like spiritual disciplines or other habits or other activities that contribute to someone's spiritual development. They want to see people grow up in Jesus. They want to see people grow to become more like Christ. And so they work to help that happen. And I know some of you are familiar with my mantra that says that the best habit you could ever develop is the habit of reading God's word on a daily basis. You've probably heard me say that before. That's not actually a shepherding statement. That's a prophetic statement because I'm calling you to faithfulness and obedience of reading God's word on a daily basis. But what a shepherd does is a shepherd comes in and actually helps people learn how to develop that habit. They help people to figure out how to create a plan or a pathway for reading the Bible on a daily basis. That's because a shepherd, their responsibility involves nurturing spiritual development. But the second thing is that they're all about maintaining communal health. Maintaining communal health. Now, there are a number of ways that a shepherd works to help maintain communal health. One is they make sure that every person in the church is cared for. They just have something in them that wants to make sure people are cared for. They work to make sure that the church is an environment, or really a family, where healing can take place, where growth can take place, where transformation can take place, because it's a safe space for people to grow and to be challenged and to kind of be pushed forward. They work to make sure that people know that they matter and that they're cared for. Another way that shepherds work to maintain communal health is in dealing with conflict. See, shepherds have something in them where they can help the church work through conflict. And we think that conflict is bad a lot of times. If you're like me, you want to avoid conflict at all costs, whatever. But shepherds see conflict as something that can be positive if it's worked through. And so shepherds are always pushing us to work through conflict, to extend forgiveness, to tell us you got to bear with one another and put up with one another and forgive one another. Why? Because their goal is to maintain communal health. And you can't maintain communal health without having the habit of forgiveness, without continually extending grace to one another. And shepherds encourage us to do that. And then the third thing is they engender loving community. Shepherds are passionate about encouraging us and reminding us and motivating us to live according to Jesus' command in John 13. Look at what Jesus said. Hopefully you know this. Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." We get confused a lot of times, right? We think that people are going to know, we're going to know that we're his disciples if we go to church, or if we don't do this, or if we do this, or whatever. We've got these other lists, but Jesus says, the only way people are going to know that you're my disciples is if you love one another. Well, shepherds, they work to help us love one another. They work to help us live out this command. So one more time, let's look at the quote that he said, our definition. The shepherd is called to nurture spiritual development, maintain communal health, and engender loving community among the people of God. I'm convinced that many of you have this gift. Many of you are shepherds. Now, it may be dormant, it may be misplaced, you may be working it out in some other area instead of where God wants you to, but some of you have this gift of a shepherd. And some of you have the capacity as a shepherd to care for a lot of people. Others of you have the capacity as a shepherd to just care for one, two, or three people. Capacity is irrelevant. What's relevant is, are you living a life worthy of the calling that you've received? Are you exercising this gift and this responsibility that God has given you, this shepherding gift? And remember, this isn't a role or a responsibility that's for people like me. This is a role and responsibility that some of you have who are part of our church. So to help you kind of figure out, is this me? Does this describe me? We've got some more bullet points that we've been kind of doing every week of this series to help kind of refine it. And I forgot to tell you guys, but if you're on the Bible app, the YouVersion Bible app, you go to the events section, you can find all the notes from today. Are they not on there? They're not on there. Randy, y'all stare at the camera for a minute. Just, huh? Hey, Randy, we love you. I just want you to know I'm caring for you. I'll send that out in the email this week, okay? I'll make sure all the notes go out in the email. So I guess you should have just written this stuff down. Should have had a pencil with you, you know? But let me just go through these real fast. The core bent of someone who is a shepherd is they are a nurturer, a sustainer. They emphasize healing and wholeness and community. See, the core of a shepherd is they care for people. Even as I'm reading this, I feel guilty that I called out Randy online. I'm sorry, Randy, please forgive me. I'm like, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. That's so bad. Okay, see, I'm not a shepherd, right? See, shepherds are like, don't do that, man. So, okay, let's go on. The next thing, their focus, the focus of a shepherd is the health and growth of the individual and church and community. Like a shepherd is passionate about helping us as individuals and helping us as a church grow, to grow spiritually, to grow in our love for one another, to grow in our community. That's kind of their focus. Their overriding concern when making decisions is this: how will this affect the church as an organization and the people individually? There's just something in them that over and over again thinks, how is this going to affect people spiritually? How's this going to affect the church? They keep coming back to, how is this going to, is this going to push people away? Is this going to help them grow closer to Jesus? There's just something about the shepherd that does that. But shepherds have some shortcomings, and that is that they are, they can have an obsessive need for harmony. Like a shepherd, because they want to care for everybody, they can err on the side of, we just need to make sure everybody gets along, you know, instead of dealing with conflict. Some of you know what I'm talking about because you kind of have that bent a lot of time. They can have an obsessive need for harmony. They can be a conflict avoider because of that. They can have an aversion to risk. There's another one that I didn't put on this list here, but shepherds can be too insider focused a lot of times. They can only think about us as a church, and they can forget to think about the world out there that needs Jesus. That's why shepherds need apostles and evangelists to kind of even them out a little bit, because they can be a little too insider focused. Another thing that's a shortcoming of shepherds is shepherds can have a tendency to get upset when they're not cared for. Like if they're not loved like they think they should be loved, or they're not valued like they think they should be valued, because they because all of us are selfish and all of us are self-centered to a degree, and they haven't kind of matured enough, their attention can turn inward a lot of times. Because they recognize that they're not being cared for. They recognize that they're not being loved. But let me just say something. If you're a shepherd and you've ever had that feeling, that may be an indication that God has gifted you with this responsibility, and that instead of turning it inward, he wants you to turn it outward, to care for those who are around you, to love those who are around you. Because if, you know, remember, it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about what can we do for others. He's put that in you. That's something that he's gifted you with, to care for others. Let me tell you the shepherd's slogan. They have a great slogan. Love one another. Now, it's not as good as the evangelist slogan, welcome to the party is the evangelist slogan. But the slogan for the shepherd's pretty good. Love one another. They just want us to love, because they love. They're really, really good at loving people. Let me tell you some historical examples of a shepherd. Of course, you have Jesus. Jesus was really the archetype, the prototype of a shepherd. He's the one that modeled for us what a shepherd looks like. If you remember in John chapter 10, Jesus looks out across the crowd and has compassion on them. Why? Because they are like sheep without a shepherd. I mean, that was not in John 10, that was in another passage. John 10 is where Jesus says that he is the great shepherd, that he's the one who cares for his flock, that he protects his flock, that his sheep know him, that they recognize his voice. Jesus actually calls himself a shepherd. And then Jesus modeled really what it was like to be a shepherd, even when he was hanging on the cross. Remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he did something that none of us would do. Like if somebody nailed us to a cross, we would be cursing the people that nailed us to the cross. But Jesus didn't do that. Remember what Jesus said? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He showed love to people, even his executioners. I mean, he's this great example, this great picture of a shepherd and what a shepherd is. Then you have Barnabas. Barnabas, the guy who kind of took Paul under his wing when Paul came back to Jerusalem, and everybody's like, we can't trust that guy because he used to be wanting to kill us and throw us in prison. And Barnabas is like, no, you can trust him. He cared for Paul and introduced him to everybody else. And then later on, Barnabas is the one who, after this guy by the name of John Mark kind of left Paul, this is this great story. He kind of ran away from Paul in the middle of a mission trip because he wanted to go back home to mama, I guess. I don't know what he wanted to go back home for, but he just abandoned Paul. And Paul was like, I'm not having anything else to do with that guy. And Barnabas is like, we got to bring him along. He's sorry for what he did. He's just this great picture of a shepherd. He gave this guy named John Mark a second chance to kind of be a part of what God was doing. Barnabas is a great example. Then you have Mother Teresa. A modern example is Eugene Peterson, who did the paraphrase of the Message. Just this great example of a shepherd. But the question is, do you have that gift? Could you be one of the people whose names goes up on this list? See, like I said earlier, I really think that many of you in this room are shepherds and you don't even realize it. So let me give you a couple of assessment questions you can ask yourself. Do you have a heart for those who are hurting? Do you find yourself seeking ways for your community to be more like a family? Do you sometimes, this is a great qualifying question, this next one. Do you sometimes feel as if the church isn't paying enough attention to members? Maybe a shepherd. Do you enjoy caring for people in the church? See, there's just some of you just love people. You love to care for people. Like I love to care for some of you, right? But some of you just love to care for people. There's just something about you. And you have an amazing gift. We need you. Do you have a passion for helping people grow spiritually, for maintaining the health of the church community, and or helping the church love one another? Some of you are shepherds. And let me tell you why this role is so, so important. Without shepherds, people fall through the cracks. Without shepherds, we will never be good at loving one another. The one thing that Jesus said is going to define us as his disciples, we won't be good at that if we don't have shepherds who are exercising their gift. Without shepherds, we won't care for each other. We won't take care of one another. We won't notice if somebody's missing. See, shepherds are important. Shepherds are essential. And let me just tell you, if you have this gift, we need you at Hub City Church. We need you. The kingdom needs you. We need you to exercise this gift, to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to talk about this amazing gift. And I know that there are people in this room and there are people online right now who have felt kind of a nudge that, hey, this might be me. I ask that you would give them kind of the discipline and the courage to kind of figure out what that means, to live according to this calling, to live a life worthy of this calling, to exercise this gift. Because our church, we need the shepherds to step up and to care for us and to love us and to feed us and to protect us and to discipline us. We need the shepherds to do what it is that they're called to do. So would you be clear to the people in the room who have this gift? Help them to realize how important they are and how necessary they are. And I just thank you for shepherds. I want to thank you, God, that you, like when I think about these five gifts, these five roles and responsibilities, that you really thought of everything. That you didn't leave anything out. And that you knew that what we needed. And so help us, Lord God, to live like you want us to live, to be the people that you want us to be. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I was thinking, we're getting ready to respond by sharing communion together. If you are in the room, you can grab one of these cups. But like we said in John chapter 10, Jesus really tells us that he's the perfect shepherd. He cares for his sheep. He loves his sheep hear his voice, his sheep follow him. But not only that, but as the perfect shepherd, Jesus actually laid down his life for his sheep, for us. I mean, what an incredible, that's really beyond fathoming if you think about it, that the perfect shepherd would lay down his life for imperfect sheep, for sheep that keep wandering off, for sheep that keep getting into trouble, for sheep that are so easily sidetracked and distracted, that our perfect shepherd laid down his life for us, his sheep. And when we take communion every week, we remember that. We remember our perfect shepherd who sacrificed himself for us, his sheep. And so this morning, as we take the bread, I just want us to remember the sacrifice that he made for us. And as we take the juice, I want us to remember that his blood was shed so that our sins could be forgiven. See, that's the problem with sheep. Sheep just can't get it right by themselves. They just can't. But Jesus made things right with his blood. So let's remember. Let me tell him thank you. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful that you are the perfect shepherd who laid down your life for us. Forgive us for wandering off. Forgive us for doing our own thing. Forgive us for all of our sin. But we thank you that forgiveness is possible because of what you did on the cross. Thanks for the opportunity to remember that this morning. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.